you something, folks. Steve Quayle, TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. If you haven't gone there, check it out. And Tom Horn, SkywatchTV.com. Now, you know, I'm ready to corner the market right now on Tom Horn's special purchase for Hagman listeners. Okay, so if you're thinking about buying this, you better do it now, because I'm going to throw out, like, I'm selling my bicycle, I'm selling my pop cans, everything, my allowance that I got. I'm going to buy a whole bunch of these books. Go to SkywatchTV.com and click on the link there on the top, and especially for Hagman and Hagman listeners, hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise when you buy Abaddon Ascending. Sign me up. My wife already bought, seriously, my wife bought one, and I've gotten emails. So do it while you can. And the trip to Peru, limited. Steve Quayle, man, I'll tell you what, GoFundMe for a trip, with Steve. Absolutely. Hagman and the Hagman Report. Folks, before you get back to Steve and Tom, I just want to mention greeninnovative.com. Visit greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. They're having a 15% off all purchases through Christmas with the promo code Hagman. They're the creators of the GMAG battery recharger. 15% off. You can't beat that even with a stick. greeninnovative.com. 15% of all purchases now through Christmas with a promo code Hagman. They are the makers of the GMAG battery charger, and I have to say, I just love that little device. It is one of the best investments I've ever made. That's greeninnovative.com, the GMAG battery charger. 8 ounces power just by adding salt and water. Steve Quayle, go ahead, sir. Continue on with your and you can kick it over to Tom anytime you'd like.
Yeah, I'll kick it immediately over to Tom, but I guess, you know, the thing we want everyone to understand is this. There is an acceleration taking place. The acceleration is, Jesus said the time, the days would be shortened, as a shortening of days, in order that his people, the believers, might be saved. Now, I'm not talking about salvation eternally. I'm talking about literally from this present age. So When Tom and I take all the different threads, and whether it's the aliens, whether it's the giants, whether it's genetic engineering, I went on record 10 years ago, Tom, you and I were on the same show talking about the Human Genome Project had nothing to do with just identifying the human genome. It was literally to identify the genome, the fallen angel genes from the Nephilim, i.e. Rephaim, and basically be able to reanimate the genetic code of those entities so that the evil spirits, the demons, could basically come back into their house and say they're back. And so I don't think people grasp what we're getting. So why is this important, Doug? Why is this important, everyone listening? Because God is accelerating the time. The evil's becoming, and I want to make this, and I'm going to turn it right over to Tom. I am on record as saying I believe that the majority of these people that you see in entertainment, in the political arena, etc., are no longer human as you would define a human being. I believe they have been given over to such evil impregnation and activation that outside of God literally setting the Jesus, setting the gathering demoniacs free, that's what you're dealing with. Can a whole nation become demon-possessed? Well, it looks like Mystery Babylon, you know, has become a habitation of devils. And obviously Hollywood or Hollywood and Hellavision and what's getting ready to be unleashed. You see, these people are doing, and again, they're sacrificing your children, my children, our children, because we're all members of the same body. That's what my Bible says. And when kids disappear and end up as pizza items on the menu, and John Podesta and these people are openly having their secret talk, it is stated in the background of what I've been told, there are in excess of 70,000 world leader millionaire billionaires involved in this. 70,000. Well, going with what Tom Horn said, my guess is 72,000. And I wouldn't even put it past him to limit it to 72,000, because that manifests or corresponds with the 72 goetic gates. Don't go looking that up, but the demon portals entering into our dimension. CERN is the master lock. And isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know how they see what they see? They see it on the screens. All their computer screens are tracking all of these entities. You know what they put in front of their target area? Glass plates with different languages. I got news for you. What we're talking about tonight is so relevant that literally men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. But you do not have to be fearful. As a Christian, you can say, Lord, this stuff really scares me. I've said that. It upsets me. God, how can I deal with it? I have a hard enough time dealing in this realm with stuff I got to deal with. And God says, my grace is sufficient. But remember my promise, Steve. Remember this, everyone, that Jesus said he gives you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Do you know why? The left, the lunatics, the demonatics, and the, blank heads, I'll let you fill in the word that precedes heads. Now, I'm saying this, not Tom, so get mad at me, not him. They will not use the name of Jesus because they know they have a time for their eternal, damnation. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, you mentioned 72. If somebody visits the dome, the U.S. Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C., you walk in, you look up, you see the apotheosis of George Washington, where he's becoming a god, the heaven he's ascending into. There's no Jesus, there's no crosses, there's no angels. It's all demonic gods. But notice right beneath that, what do you see? 72 pentagrams that go around the circumference just below the apotheosis of George Washington, because they know that they have to be able to control these 72 demons according to their Gnostic belief. And they're very much connected to their Raphaim. You mentioned the Raphaim. And earlier, I lost my train of thought because I was trying to track too much on the question that pastor had. But I was trying to answer the question, how do they come back? And I kind of got lost in that. But the third point, this is something that we cover in the book, Abaddon Ascending. So if people get that, they can read it to get all the details. But it's this point, that there is, and this one is the one that's almost most intriguing to me, about how do the giants come back? How do these gates operate, Steve? How does what we have seen and documented and are filming and are being told that the reanimation is beginning, how does this all function? To incarnate these giants, these gods in the bodies of flesh, appears to be connected to magic beds. Now, I know this sounds kind of boring, but hang on with me for a moment. And fertility rituals, such as the giant bed of the king Og from Deuteronomy. His bed, 9x4 cubits, conservatively at 6x13. Other people say the measurement's actually 18. Kind of depends on how you look at the cubit. And by the way, Steve, how do you translate that?
I'm sorry, Tom, what, the length of a cubit?
Yeah, well, the Og's bed, how long do you think Og's bed was?
I know that there are those that disagree with me, but in all the stuff I've come up with 18, and I think it's interesting because it's 3/6, it's 18 feet, okay?
Right.
So, you know, they say, well, are you using a standard cubit or a royal cubit? I say, well, guess what? The cubit length is determined by the usage of all the stuff I've turned up. So, you know, 18 feet is what I go by, and people say, well, that's not true because so-and-so says that's not true. Well, I got news for you. So-and-so didn't write the myths, legends, and the oral traditions around it. So I hope I'm answering your question.
Well, yeah, you are, because some people say 13. That's still a giant, right? But some say 18, depending on how you identify the cubit. Anyway, bottom line is, King Og's bed, in more recent years, an identical bed to his, absolutely down to the millimeter, was found at the ziggurat at Amenanki, which a lot of archaeologists believe is the Tower of Babel. But what's more important is at Amenanki, at the Tower of Babel, there was relief information which described how the bed was used. And this bed was used as a ritual bed where the god Marduk and his divine wife Zarpanitu would meet annually for their ritual lovemaking. The purpose of that was procreation, blessings upon the earth. Some people want to say it was only, you know, fertility rituals, and that it didn't play a role in anything other than symbolic fertility rituals. But Marduk's wife's name, Zarpanitu, is actually interpreted as creatress of seed. And it's associated with literal fertility, possibility of the ancient idea of divine birth, and the proto-evangelium out of Genesis 3:15. Remember, I will put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. So, or the seed of the serpent. So this Marduk ritual appears to have been specifically connected with a giant bed for the purposes of fulfilling what Ezekiel was talking about, the raising of the Raphaim from the underworld, the dispelling of the soul of an individual so that they could be trained, changed, transmogrified. It's exactly the same thing, Steve, that you and I are learning from the Four Corners area and what was going on with the Anasazi, and this idea that through cannibalistic rituals, they weren't cannibalizing because they were starving, they had food, they were cannibalizing for a different purpose. And by conducting these rituals, some of which came up out of Mesoamerica, Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, the worship of this dragon feature, of this dragon individual that came through this portal in the Four Corners area of the United States, such as we chronicle, taught them dark magic, dark rituals. In their kivas, there at the San, I might as well name it the San Canyon Pueblo, the people that turned us down. First agreed they would meet with us, then they turned us down. But in the kivas there, partly what they're not wanting people to discover is in those kivas were the same teeth and the same finger bones, kiva after kiva, where they were practicing what Dr. Don Mose said, witchcraft. To put a better term on it, pharmakia, which is how the New Testament book of Revelation, chapter 9, for instance, describes how these gateways open, how these doorways open. Isn't it amazing that in Revelation 9, this angel comes down, he opens the bottomless pit, Abaddon ascends up out of the pit, all of these horrific beings, but the very people that are being tortured, in the last two verses of that text, it says, and yet they repented not of their sorcery, and this is the term pharmakia. Pharmakia is the use of magic and incantations, such as the Podesta emails are describing, for the express purpose of circumventing God. For what purpose? To make contact with those things that are on the other side of these CERN mystical doorways. And so it's almost as if God in Revelation 9 is saying, you asked for it, you got it. The gates are open, and yet they repented not of their pharmakia. So this bed of Og was discovered at the Tower of this bed identical to the one of Og was discovered at the Tower of Babel, but it indicates that Og and his ilk, the Anakim, the giant, the living versions of the later dead Raphaim, were practicing something that the Watchers had taught them that is lost to us today, except perhaps for these deeply occulted individuals and the Freemasons who claim that they still have the power. They conduct, actually, the raising of Osiris ceremony. Now, again, this is kind of interesting in light of the Scripture, because people hear me talking about this and they might think, well, this is just a bunch of hokum. This can't happen. It can't really happen, even though Ezekiel might have, you know, Ezekiel was wrong. God was wrong. It can't happen. You can't dispel. You can't change a person's DNA and dispel their spirit and then create a living receptacle into which the Raphaim can rise, even if Ezekiel is talking about that. It can't happen. It can't possibly happen. People can't believe this, right? And yet these beds appear to have been used to do that very thing, archaic magic performed for the express purpose of raising the mighty ones to life again This is literally at the core of some of these ancient themes, Egyptian and otherwise. Now, I think maybe that's why the Dewey Reams version of the Bible translated Isaiah 26:14, in which he's actually praying when he says, "Let not the dead live, let not the giants rise again." Now, here's another thing I'll say real quickly, because I know in 10 minutes here we'll be at the bottom of the hour again. Og was said to be the last of the Raphaim. Now, this term Raphaim is connected to the Anakim and other ancient giants, but it has this idea of these giants in the underworld and the possibility that they have the ability to somehow rise to physical form at particular moments in time. And this relationship between the Raphaim and the giant occupants of Canaan, of which Og, the king of Bashan, belonged, and the Nephilim is important here, as this Raphaim is associated by the ancients with the shades of the dead, the dead Nephilim in Sheol Hades. In fact, the meaning of the word Raphaim carries with it the ideal to heal or to be healed, as in a resurrection from the place of the dead, Sheol Hades. And in the Rosh Hashanah text, these Raphaim are described as demigods who had worshipped the Amorite god Baal, the ruler of the underworld, and when these Raphaim die, they go down into the underworld, where they join Baal's acolyte assembly of lesser gods, the kings and heroes and rulers, and these beings have the power to return from the dead through, I don't like the word reincarnation, because that's not really what we're talking about here, magic. It's actually more akin to the Podesta emails, but they have the ability to rise up from the underworld through occult magic and to become reincarnated. And I think it's a surprise to a lot of Bible students, it will be when they read Abaddon Ascending, to learn that the prophet Isaiah may have actually considered that dogma factual when he tied the power of those beings to the king of Babylon and Lucifer himself, after prophesying against the Babylonian leader, and he says, "Hell, that is Sheol Hades, from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead." It stirreth up the dead, the Rapha, the Raphaim, that's the dead there. "Even all the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us?" So, Isaiah 14. But it was immediately after that statement that Isaiah looks beyond the Raphaim at their Baal in verse 12 when he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" So, these are very interesting places. Job 26:5, dead things are formed from under the waters, and the dead in that text is Rapha. They are formed from under the waters. And this term "are formed" is hul, which means to twist or to whirl, Steve, in a double helix coil, as you mentioned a moment ago. Genetic manufacturing or genetic alteration, genetic re-engineering. And of course, we've done...
Genetic reanimation. Yep,
it's
genetic reanimation.
Yeah. So, and of course, again, Revelation 9, Revelation 17 tell us that the ultimate king of the Nephilim is going to rise. So, whether or not somebody buys this idea that, you know, the witches of Eastwick behind the Podesta emails are trying to practice something because they were true believers that Hillary Clinton was somehow connected to the Babylon working, whether or not people buy any of that at all, I think there's a lot of reason to be suspicious here, that these people were behaving in a way that they had totally bought in to this occultic magic. We might even want to ask ourselves if maybe God has only temporarily, through the Trump presidency, has only temporarily given us a moment so that the church would become preachers of the gospel again. Maybe there could be a great awakening. Because think, if we had never known, if the WikiLeaks scandal had never happened, if we had never known this stuff was going on, it was kind of like before your friend Alex Jones took a British filmmaker and they crept inside the redwood and filmed
Bohemian Grove.
Before that happened, who would have believed, right? Who would have believed that the President of the United States, the British leadership, that all these elite from around the world were coming to go inside the redwood forest in front of a 40-foot tall giant owl to conduct rituals for X number of days? Who would have believed that would ever happen? That's like a B-title movie. It's never happened. Well, it was happening. Now we know, as a result of this email release, that something very much darker was happening, and it does seem to be connected to an effort to bring about the culmination of the resurrection of he that was and is not and yet shall be. There are people who are intentionally working now to try to create an invitation. Go to Google, watch the tunnel ceremony and how spooky it is, and note the invitation for them to call forth these goat-headed demons from the underworld to bring about this king of the world who will be this goat-headed Sir Nunos or whatever. Some very, very spooky and concerning stuff.
Tom, I think let me interrupt you let me just give you an attenuation on what you're already saying. Years ago, the BBC did carry the news article that Gilgamesh's tomb had been found.
Mm-hmm.
After that issue, and it may be interesting for you to I don't know how much time we've got. We got a little bit of time, but I was told by the people that their number one goal in the world of black ops again, with no names, no official sanctions, but they go and track down, if you will, the monsters, the things that go bump in the night, that extricable DNA was taken from Gilgamesh. Now, some people believe Gilgamesh obviously is another name for Nimrod. So, the thing is, in the Gilgamesh epic, obviously he goes into hell, he goes into the underworld, but isn't it fascinating that now we've got the world leaders, at least at the, quote, bottom of the earth, not, by the way, the side of a parallelogram or a triangle, that's my statement to that, not at the bottom of the dome, but they're meeting with someone and entities that seemingly control that which goes on the surface of the earth from under the earth. You don't get the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, you don't get that Pope, you don't get Obama, all these guys and Kerry down there, and it's not about, making sure penguins procreate properly. It's about somebody's meeting with someone down there. And what's fascinating to me is that now they hit the History Channel hunting Hitler, and it's becoming more and more apparent. People, I get a lot of hate mail when I say this, but they can't deny the history of the occult and the supernatural ritual magic that the SS undertook. And the SS stands for Schwarzensonne, that basically, and I apologize for my poor pronunciation of German, but the Black Sun movement. The Black Sun is the sun in the inner earth. That's the area that Byrd went to. And people say, he was crazy. Well, if Admiral Byrd was crazy, ask yourself this. Why did someone murder Secretary of Defense, the first Secretary of Defense, Forrestal, and throw him out a third-story window at Bethesda Naval Hospital when he wanted to go public and tell people about the aliens and what was truly underneath the ice, the empire beneath the ice? Well, how does that all evolve? It's, dead things are moving. And I believe this. I believe that the ancient scriptures, and obviously the word Rapha, you probably know this, but Rapha and Rephaim, there are 33 mentions of that. Isn't that fascinating?
Mm-hmm.
33 mentions. The word Nephilim appears twice, Genesis 6 and Numbers 13:33. The word Nephilim never appears after that, but the Rephaim or Rephaim and then the Rapha appear 33 times. So there you've got that, again, you've got that occult signature on the very word that they're trying to reanimate, and especially those who are working overtime to reanimate all of their children. This is something that was explained to me, and I never thought about this, but the fallen angels, not the ones that were bound in everlasting chains of darkness. Those are the ones that, I believe, landed on Mount Hermon, the original 200. But after that, even the second incursion, or the second time that they corrupted the DNA, obviously that's where Goliath came from, but the fallen angels are doing their best to reanimate their children. And that, boy, when that hit me like a ton of bricks. In other words, they want their evil children back. And someone says, well, what do you do when a giant comes out of stasis or suspended animation? Won't they be hungry? And I said, and I guess it sounded sarcastic, yeah, and anybody in sight is on the menu. Because I've been told that the first thing that in Dulce, the infamous alien wars under Dulce, New Mexico, when they had an outbreak of the giants, that, now I'm talking about living giants, not bones, not test tube babies, okay, big test tubes, but I'm talking about a literal outbreak of giants, and that the scientists who were there by, you know, UN treaty or something, the guy said, well, the first thing the giant did, that the one that they ultimately had to put down, he said the titanium bars, and he said they have other metals in their bars. The bars that hold these things are like, you know, a couple feet in diameter, each of the bars. And then they have some other, you know, metals, and my guess is copper, but the point being, the first thing that thing did when it broke loose, this is a living giant in an underground military base in New Mexico, when he broke loose, he basically slaughtered them all and just engorged himself on them all. Now, some
Steve,
people say, well, that's crazy.
Hang on, Steve. You got to finish that on the other side. It's fascinating. Hagman and Hagman Report. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn. Going to be right back, Steve, where we're at. I'm going to tell you, this broadcast just has flown by. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and truelegendstheseries.com. And Tom Horn, Skywatch TV, who's just got this tremendous sale, which I don't know how long it's going to be up there. Folks, you can take advantage of it as soon as you can, because it's not going to last. Abaddon Ascending is the purchase, and with that you get hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise. I know my wife actually ordered one. Others have ordered. They're not going to last. It's not going to last. So do it now. Do it now for Christmas. That's right, for Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, masterpreps.com. 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 They opened up their store. They've got all sorts of top-of-the-line survival items marked down for Hagman Report. That's right. Markdown for Hagman Report. In fact, they got a Doug special. Check it out. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I took this through its paces, and I cannot believe what, I just can't believe this. Masterpreps.com for all, they've assembled all of the highest quality, survival products. I mean, the highest quality, and evaluated them, bought them in bulk, and then marked them down accordingly. Savings to you. Masterpreps.com. Masterpreps.com. Check it out today. Do your Christmas shopping in one click. Masterpreps.com, and check out my special there. That's right. I use it. Steve, a giant. I'm just trying to envision what you were talking about. I mean, seriously. Really. Breaking through.
Well,
go ahead.
It is really hard to understand it, but look, God's going to give us a revelation unfolding. It's like Corrie Ten Boom's story that her dad told her. God gives you, you know, when you're ready to get on the train, the loving father gives you the ticket at the time you get on the train. And I know some of the stuff, like I'm getting emails, how do we kill? But fortunately, the Hollywood producer that I was referring to, he just sent me an email, and I don't want to share his name without it, but let's just say this, you know, Mission Impossible 2, you know, Mission Impossible 3, you know, very, very, very well-placed Hollywood insider. And I want to read this, Tom, because this will maybe illustrate in real time while we are on the air, why it's so important. WWs, get me. Dear Steve, you you are correct. I'm listening to you guys on Hagman tonight. You guys are doing an awesome job revealing the dark underbelly of Washington and Hollywood. Since the election, listen to this, the actors who are practicing Satan worship have barely been able to prevent the demons who possess them from manifesting in public. They are so freaked out by Trump's election. In all the years of my deliverance ministry in Hollywood, I can never remember a more dangerous time. Now, here's what he goes on to say. By the way, ladies, this is the real McCoy. God bless you, Arthur. Please be careful approaching. I'm sorry. No, he says, fortunately, the prayers of the righteous people protected Trump and the Lord. Now, this is important. The Lord gave us the leader we needed for this time and not the one we as a sinful nation deserved. And there seems to be a common thread, Tom and Doug, of the people, including us, who know that, if you will, God's prophetic timetable is absolutely full speed ahead. But He, because he's the creator, can say, I'm going to give these guys a time out to get their act together, because there are none of us that are ready to deal with this stuff. It cannot be dealt with in a normal human mind context. It cannot be battled against in a normal human battle context. And, you know, I get emails like, well, I'm just going to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Well, show me where you're taking on the lion and the bear and winning before you go taking on Goliath. I've never seen so much assumptive faith instead of faith that produces results. So, Tom, just as we're on the air tonight, he said and this is what I call outpicturing. I want to share something. Those of you who are under the blood of the Lamb and have given your hearts to Jesus, this will not apply to you. Those of you who are playing games with God and have the tattoos of nightmares, of demons, devils, Satan, all of the strange things, get saved, get your life filled with the Holy Ghost, because just as I gave a release, I'm going to give it right over to Tom. I said something really powerful. I hope people understand it. I'm not the one that made that up. Imagine when your big screen TV becomes an active portal, and all the stuff that, you know, fills the airways, whether it's demonic, and look, I'm making DVDs and movies and stuff, but what I'm talking about is knowing the spirit behind something, and when the spirits that are being invoked by the people through ritual magic and through abandonment to Satanism, imagine when their tattoos become alive and those things burst out of their chest or off of their spine or out of their necks, and imagine when the very screen that you just bought, a 70-inch TV, or doesn't matter, a 7-foot or whatever, and imagine that there comes a time when literally that will be a true portal. And again, I've never said that, and I find, Tom, that there are certain things of revelation that God only releases to me when we're on the air. For instance, you were the one that released on the air one time, one of the very first shows we ever did, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Up until that point, I had zero understanding. Now, we're talking, 10, 15 years ago, but I think it's really critical to understand that people, we pray for these presentations. The people around us are praying. The intercessors are interceding. Arthur says, I continue to pray warfare protection prayers for you and the other watchmen and women daily. Then one of my other listeners, and you've met him, I won't tell you his name, but you've met him, Tom. You and I have both met him. He said this, guys, by far the best, most informative, most current and up-to-date show I've ever heard. Tells me everything that my wife and I have been reading and watching this past 2 weeks has not been for naught. Things are escalating. Things are escalating exponentially. It's a shame hardly anyone sees what is coming. So, Tom, go ahead and take it if you want. Just go until you get tired, but share with where you think we are in the time frame as far as disclosure. This is questions I'm getting, and manifestation. I hear it all the time, my email or on the phone. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. And I said, yep, well, you might have a throat side view, meaning, you know, maybe when you're in the mouth of these things, just like then you'll believe it. But tell us where you think at this point, because again, you're already Abaddon Ascending is available, Skywatch TV, you've made the specials, but just at this point, what are your tires spinning over that you're going, wow, the things that, you know, the things that your mind just won't shut down on.
Well, so let me say how much I appreciate your film producer friend who's worked on the Mission Impossible film, and his comments and the other comments, you know, whoever it was that emailed you, somebody that you and I both know that have said it confirms what him and his wife have been looking at over the last few weeks. And I'm sure that this is probably also true for a lot of people out there. And I agree with the film producer who is, you know, he's in Hollywood, so he's kind of familiar with what's going on there. He probably was totally familiar with what I was talking about with the Marina Abramović, you know, the carving up of the bodies and eating that horrible, terrible stuff and how these Hollywood elite are applauding and clapping, and it was the most demonic thing I've ever seen. But I do believe that we have been given a moment, and the truth is Trump is the most unlikely candidate on the face of the earth. The man, look, I will admit that I voted for him. It might have been more that I was just voting against Hillary. I laughed and joked and said to some of my friends, I'm going to hold my nose and go in and vote, but then I've been doing that for a lot of years, right? So, but I don't see a political leader as really the answer to where we're going. It was more a civic duty. I'm a patriot. I do think, though, that there's something else here at work, and I do think that it is God who put the brakes on something. If people listen to the first 2 hours of this program, and I'm assuming if they listen to what Doug's going to be releasing on the Hagman & Hagman report in the weeks ahead, his 300 or 400 pages of investigation, and Doug is a licensed investigator, I think that the nation was protected by God from something that the average citizen can hardly appreciate, that we were on the precipice. We were literally about to step over into hell itself. And God in his benevolence, God in his mercy, has given our nation, and more importantly, he's given the church, an opportunity to be able to take this time now, not to sit back and say, good, I pulled the voting lever and my dominionist effort has paid off and I've got my king now and so now I can relax. No, that's not what this is. This is now an opportunity for us as the church to become preachers of the gospel. When you read Paul's epistle to Timothy, and people quote that where he said, pray for the leaders and kings, and normally they stop with that with their dominionistic approach in the church. Read the whole verses 1 through 4, where what he's describing is, pray for your leaders so that you will have an environment that is not living under tyranny, so that you have an easy opportunity to be preachers of the gospel, an unrestricted opportunity to be preachers of the gospel, so that people can come to the faith, so that people can be saved. More than anything else right now, what God has given us is this opportunity to become preachers of the gospel. We all know, and Steve, you and I and Doug, we did programs, you know, a couple of years ago, Blood on the Altar, and where we were going and what was happening with the whole agendas that are coming down from the federal bureaucracy and more, dictating to the church what they can say or not say, who they can hire and not hire. All of a sudden now, we've been given this moment where hopefully Trump's going to follow through with what he has said. It's a reprieve, if nothing else, and we have a moment in time. But let me say one other thing about this. You know what this reminds me of? I'm a child of the Age of Fire. I'm a child of the Jesus People movement. And I grew up in that whole environment. My brother's band played backup for Santana, Rare Earth, Steppenwolf. I was in the middle of all this stuff, you know, Woodstock, all that. And I remember how it was an organic thing. No big-haired evangelist came along and said, hey, let's start a new awakening called the Jesus Freak Movement. That's not how this happened. People were anti-establishment. They lost their faith in the government. They were against the Vietnam War. But we are wired to be submitted to a sovereign. God made us to want to be submitted to a sovereign, and that is Him. When we get to a point where our faith is in government and we get up every day and we pray, Dear Obama, bless our daily bread and give us our daily bread, we become dependent on the government. But when people lose faith in the government, this is what's happened in Brexit, this is what's happened with the Trump presidency, where you have a moment in time now where people no longer believe in the government, they don't believe in globalism, they're rejecting globalism, and yet, deep down inside, they still want to be submitted to a sovereign, so they turn back to God. That's what happened in the Jesus Freak movement. They're rebelling against the Vietnam War, you know, Nixon sending out the water cannons because they're marching on Washington, D.C., but out of that grew this organic, grassroots, fifth great awakening, and literally millions of people came into the kingdom of God as a result. I was part of that, Sid Ross part of that, Jim Baker was part of that, Chuck Misler came out of that, the Calvary Chapel churches came out of that. It was a phenomenon. That's what I think we are right now on the precipice of. What I'm seeing is signs of another great awakening, and that's what I hope will happen. Now, now that I've shared the positive side, let me share the negative side of what I also see. Don't forget that other great awakenings were born out of great catastrophe. At the end of World War II, the Holocaust, people became aware of what had been going on with the Jews. And the church was dead and asleep, and the Zionist movement had not got its legs under it. But when the war came to an end, and people around the world began seeing what was happening in the gas chambers at Dachau, at Auschwitz, suddenly sympathies from around the world rose up. Pressure was put on the United States, put on Britain, put on the United Nations. And they are the ones who then begin calling for a Jewish state, a Jewish nation. And a miracle occurred. 1948, a nation was born in one day. But guess what happened? It was at that same time that the church suddenly saw the nation of Israel being born in one day. They translated that as the fig tree blossoming out of the book of Matthew. They translated it as Bible prophecy was unfolding right before their very eyes. And it gave birth to what we call today the Age of Fire. All of these great preachers, Billy Branham, A.A. Allen, Catherine Kuhlman, all these people came up out of the Age of Fire and became preachers of the gospel, but that was born out of catastrophe. And here's what I think is also going to be part of where we are. If the church will now respond to this moment they have been given and become preachers of the gospel while we still have the ease that Paul wrote to Timothy about when he said, pray for your national leaders, then we may not need catastrophe. But if we don't, if people think that by pulling the voting lever they've done their duty and now we have our king and now the church can relax, then the second phase, the World War II example, might be what we face next, a terrorist weapon of mass destruction, some catastrophic circumstances that would then put the church on its knees, on its faces, so it'll fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, God says, and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. This is where I think we are right now today. But we were literally moments away from the Podesta revelation. We were moments away from the Aleister Crowley vision of the future, where human sacrifices are made, blood sacrifices are made, doorways are opened. And I will tell you that if people think for one moment that that we're kind of exaggerating the facts, then they just don't understand what's going on in the world around us, what's going on at CERN, what was going on with the Gotthard tunnel revelations. There are very powerful occultists, but also scientists. And these are true believers. And they believe that they are going to open a dimensional doorway to other realities. That's why they're out there talking about it publicly. Sergio Bertolucci, the director of science for CERN, saying we are going to open a doorway. He's not saying we might. He's saying we are. And you can go and you can watch the... what is the guy's name? His last name is Green. Is it Brian Green? He's a really popular physicist right now that's doing a whole lot of television for all these different television channels. But anyway, he has a documentary right now out there that you can go on YouTube and you can watch. It's a two-hour-long documentary. If somebody wants to email me and ask me, I will get the email link. I'll get the YouTube link and send it to him. But he's talking about, so we're going to open a doorway. Then what? And this stuff, this is really spooky. It's secular science. And what he's saying is we are going to, besides the Higgs boson, we are going to discover graviton, the particle that gravity is made out of. We think we already have filmed at CERN when these protons have been busted into their subatomic particles. We think we've already filmed gravitons escaping into a parallel reality because they're going somewhere. And matter doesn't just disappear. It's still there, but it's going away, and it's disappearing in the film. And now they're saying that, it's a string theory concept, but now they're saying they think that these gravitons are in their own closed string loop, and that they can move back and forth between parallel realities. Who cares? So what? Here's so what. They literally say in the documentary film, if we can confirm that this is true, then gravitons become the methodology for us to set up communication between our reality, our universe, and another universe. We can string them together like computer code. We can literally create a message and we can send it through to another reality to say we are here. And that's what Sergio Bertolucci meant when he said we are going to send something through this doorway and something may come back. In other words, we're going to say we're here, and Steve, you've often said, and the message is coming back, that's coming back is saying, okay, thank you, we'll be there in a little while to eat you. But we are literally developing science and technology right now to communicate with invisible entities. This is absolutely extraordinary. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. But when you look at what the occultists, at the Gothard Tunnel Ceremony, the Satanist parody that was taking place at CERN, the Podesta emails, these people are telling us exactly what they are trying to do. And I think that God has suddenly worked a miracle and gave us a moment in time with the most unlikeliest of individuals. Trump, bless his heart, he's the most inarticulate person I've ever seen. The guy can't put 12 words together. How in the world could he have been elected? Well, this must, I think, have been a God thing.
Well, we know from the scripture God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. But also look at this. God used somebody, in my opinion, that had no... ties to the corrupt political / Satanism. And I'll say this, my position on this, and I will only speak for myself, Tom, is that the entire political elite is given over to perversion, with few exceptions, okay? I can even tell you some of the guys, and I won't name names, and it won't do me any good to throw out what I've been told, and, I won't slander anybody, but I'll tell you this, that the idea of where we're at in time with the CERN and the glass panels, one of the languages they are communicating with? They're communicating with Proto-Hebrew. According to, a lot of research, the tribe of Eber, E-B-E-R, were the only ones that didn't participate in the building of the Tower of Babylon, and therefore God allowed them to maintain their pure language while everything else was a spin-off, a take-off, a distortion. But I find it fascinating that they're holding up panels in the target beam, actually the holder in front of their focus point, if you will, of Proto-Hebrew, and they're communicating with something. Now, guess who would know that language? Now, also, I want to share something. Everybody I've talked to that's encountered the living giants, they have the ability to speak languages. You don't need to get an interpreter for a giant that's been in France or one that's been in Germany. The power of their mental faculties is so great that, there are ways, and I don't know those ways, or I'd spill my guts, but there are ways to deal with that and to protect. And by the way, it goes beyond aluminum foil. But the point is that we're now seeing the master lock. I don't know at what energy, I don't know at what energy level the lock spins, everything opens up and all hell breaks loose, but I will say this, when the CERN ceremony took place at Gotthard, however they pronounce it, it was obvious that it was a celebration of Lucifer's release onto the earth to bring the illumination and the ultimate persuasion and the ultimate expression of total rebellion against God, hatred and contempt for humanity that will ultimately end in the words of Jesus, if the days weren't shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. That's, ladies and gentlemen, is how important this is. And just because a demon puts on a business suit, has glasses, and has a PhD from wherever, doesn't make him any less of a demon. And when these guys are openly talking about, you know, the fact that they know exactly who they're trying to communicate with, and even today, weren't the parallel universe stories all over the London Daily Mail, the front of Drudge? By the way, I want everybody to go to the front of Drudge as Tom and I are coming to the end, and look at the Egyptian grave 7,000 years old. Look at the size of the steps, and then look at the size of the skeleton, especially look at the femur, and just the size of relationship. They're disproportionate. That is one big skeleton they're claiming royalty. In order to be Egyptian royalty, you had to have the genetics of the giants, and that's what the Sumerian Table of Kings was all about. So when you said, Tom, it's the Egyptian priesthood, that is so, or reference to that, that is so pertinent today. On the front of Drudge, they're showing a grave, and look at the size of the steps down in the grave, and you tell me if that's an ordinary-sized skeleton.
Well,
I don't think so.
And, Steve, I wonder how many people know that the town that the Large Hadron Collider CERN complex is situated in, St. Genis Pauli, in ancient Roman times was known as Apolliacum. This is the temple that was dedicated to Apollyon, and they believed that it was literally the location of the bottomless pit. So ask yourself, is it just an astonishing coincidence that the Large Hadron Collider is located in the very place where a temple and a town were dedicated to the king of the bottomless pit, this angel who holds the key to the bottomless pit? One thing I'll say real quickly here, because I know we're going to run out of time. One of the books we're giving away free in that $400 worth of books and product over there tonight is another brand new book. It's never been released before. It's called Final Fire. Is the next great awakening right around the corner. And it goes into all the reasons why I believe that we've been given this opportunity and how this could be a prelude to another great awakening. Also, Dr. Michael Lake's new book, The Shirith Imperative, he's been on with Hagman & Hagman before. His brand new book is also part of that. So it's an extraordinary thing. If you're going to get Abaddon Ascending, then you should get it there, get it now, because this is never going to happen again.
Absolutely.
It's so great to be on the air with you again tonight, Doug, with you,
Tom.
Steve. You guys are so good. This has been an intriguing conversation, to say the least.
Absolutely. And Tom, I'm you and I are going to have to talk off air. I do have some things for you. And Steve, same with you. But Steve, TrueLegendsOfTheSeries.com as well. And Tom, of course, Abaddon Ascending in your package. Marvelous, both. Thank you so very much. We're out of time. God bless you both, man.
Good night, Doug. Appreciate. Good night, Tom.
Good night. Good night, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Good night, Tom. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. The Hagman and Hagman Report. What a fantastic program. I hope you, look, go back and listen to this again. The information that was shared, so relevant to what's going on today, so relevant to what happened in the past, in the recent past with the Nazis and in the ancient past. My goodness, how great is this? Again, thank you, each and every one of you, for your support, for listening to this broadcast. You just don't know how much you mean to us. On behalf of Eric the Tech, Jackie, Executive Assistant Joe, JD, John Robertson, just want to say God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Thanks for everything that you do, your kind words, your notes. We really do appreciate that. We really do. Tomorrow, going to be back in full force. Got a lot of surprises lined up for you over the next couple of weeks leading into Christmas. Surprises like, well, trust me, it's only going to get better. Again, on behalf of Eric the Tech, Jackie, Joe, JD, John, and Lady the Studio Dog, God bless. Saddle for battle.